and welcome back to Weird on the Rocks. This is a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. I'm your host, Katie. First off, I want to say that I'm so happy to be back and recording right now. I took a two-month break from uploading any new episodes, and when I announced it, I kept it very vague and pretty much just said that I was tired and, you know, wanted like a little break from cranking out these episodes and working on them all the time. But if you follow the show on social media or if you know me in real life, you know that the real reason I took a break is because I'm pregnant. During my first trimester, I was just feeling really fatigued and super unmotivated to do pretty much anything, especially on top of, you know, working full time, maintaining a normal life, kind of. So I just thought it was a good time to take a little break and allow myself to rest. But now that I'm feeling more like myself again and have some energy back, I'm ready to be back and start putting out new content for you guys. I also want to say thank you so much to all of my listeners who have reached out with their kind words. It just makes me really happy that I can connect with you guys on a personal level, as well as, you know, I'm the host and you're the listeners. It doesn't feel like that. It feels like you guys are my friends. I know that's so cheesy, but it's true. And I love that I can just let you in on the personal parts of my life without it being weird. Well, maybe this is weird, so sorry. I really just have the best, most supportive audience, and I appreciate all of you guys. Okay, so now that the awkward stuff's out of the way, today we're going to be talking about Ouija boards. And I want to say real quick that here in America, we tend to say Ouija board, when I know in other parts of the world, it's Ouija. I think that's the actual correct pronunciation, but you know, I'm stuck in my ways and I feel like if I'm trying to say Ouija the whole time, I'm just going to mess it up. So I'm going to go with Ouija. I'm sorry if that bothers any of you guys. I just know I'm going to forget it halfway through. So I thought that this was the perfect topic to cover right now around Halloween, since it has that kind of spooky and creepy vibe. And you all actually voted for this topic on my Instagram. So that made it even more fun for me to research, knowing that you guys are actually interested in it before I release it, because I never know how you guys are going to respond to things. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about what exactly Ouija boards are, the history of their use, and also share some personal stories sent in from you listeners. Before we get going, I want to share another podcast promo with you. This one comes from my friends over at the Coffee and the Macabre podcast.
Hi there, podcast listeners. I'm Amanda.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Rachel.
And this is Coffee and the Macabre. We're a podcast dishing out all the strange,
all the unusual,
with a little bit of creepy in between.
So pour yourself a cup of coffee,
lock your doors, and strap in for some questionable conspiracies,
particularly paranormal occurrences,
and the most menacingly macabre stories this universe has to offer.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and you can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You can find my show on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, on Twitter at Weird_Rocks, and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. Before we get into the good stuff, I want to share this week's beverage of choice. Since I am with child, I obviously can't be having a cocktail right now, even though that sounds so good. I have wanted alcohol this entire pregnancy, unfortunately. Kind of sucks. So I'm definitely having probably some wine right after I give birth, if it still sounds good. Who knows? Maybe in the hospital room. Maybe I'll have someone deliver some for me. So tonight I'm actually drinking a non-alcoholic beer called Upside Dawn by the Athletic Brewing Co. And I found this at my local BevMo. I also got a non-alcoholic white wine, which was awful. But this beer is actually really good. And if I just tasted it, I really wouldn't know that there was no alcohol in here. And for all of you listening and drinking at home, I'm with you in spirit. I can't wait to join you. Have a drink for me. All right, well, let's get into it. Cheers, and let's get weird.
Thank you.
first documented mention of what is known as automatic writing, or a psychic ability to produce written words without consciously writing, came from China in 1100 AD. They referred to this as fuji, or planchette, or spirit writing. The Chinese culture used fuji to communicate with spirits and was a big part of Taoism, an ancient Chinese philosophy. However, during the Qing Dynasty, the use of planchette writing was forbidden. There is also historical evidence of spirit writing being used in ancient Greece, India, and Rome. The modern-day use of spirit boards came about during the mid-1800s in America, when the spiritualism movement was gaining traction. The country was experiencing a massive influx of premature deaths due to casualties from the Civil War, diseases, and death during childbirth. The average life expectancy of a white man in the U.S. in 1850 was only 39 years old, and 41 years old for a white female. As a response to many losing their loved ones, society was yearning to communicate with the dead and wanted to find closure after death by any means necessary. There were numerous spiritualism publications, including one called Banner of Light, which included a column that supposedly showed messages sent from the dead to their loved ones. People also began hosting seances as social gatherings. Spiritualism was seen as socially and religiously acceptable amongst a population that was predominantly of Christian faith. Even Mary Todd Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln's wife, conducted seances in the White House after their 11-year-old son died. In 1891, the best-selling book, There Is No Death, written by Florence Marryat, was released, which included a poem by famed poet Longfellow, which read, quote, "There is no death. What seems so is transition. This life of mortal breath is but a suburb of the life Elysian, whose portal we call death," end quote. It seemed as if the American society was becoming obsessed with death and the possibilities of what happened after our spirits left the earth. During the 1890s and early 1900s, the U.S. Patent Board received numerous patent requests for something called a talking board, a board that contained words and letters that spirits could communicate with the living through. Previously, people had been using more primitive ways of communicating with the dead, such as asking for them to leave a sign in their home or perform a certain task. But sometimes these things could take hours, days, or even weeks to transpire. The public wanted a way to communicate with the dead instantly and didn't want to wait impatiently for a response. In 1891, businessmen Elijah Bond and Charles Kennard began working on a talking board that looks very similar to what we know as the modern-day Ouija board. The board had the letters of the alphabet, numbers 0 through 9, the word goodbye, yes, and no, and a planchette, which is the piece that spells out the words. The game required at least two people to use. The intent is for the players to agree on a question and ask the board. They then place two fingers lightly on the planchette, which will then involuntarily move about the board to spell out the answer to their question. When they realized that their invention could be a hit, they created the Kennard Novelty Company. Both Bond and Kennard were not spiritualists themselves, but saw how popular the movement was and seized the opportunity to create a lucrative product for the masses. But first, they needed a name for their new creation. There are many different theories on where the board got its name. Some believe it's a combination of the word oui, which is French for yes, and the German word ja. Some believe the name came from the French author Ouida, spelled O-U-I-D-A. But historian Robert Murch, who has been researching the Ouija board since 1992, says that the name came from creator Elijah Bond's own family. His sister-in-law, Helen Peters, who was believed to be a medium, asked the board what it wanted to be called. And supposedly, it spelled out the words Ouija, O-U-I-J-A. When she asked what it meant, it said, good luck. Now that the board had a name, it needed a patent to be mass-produced. The patent board would only grant a patent if the product could be proven to work. When Elijah Bond went to the patent meeting, he brought his sister-in-law, Helen Peters, who was known as a medium or psychic. They sat at a table with the chief patent officer, who said that if the board could accurately spell out his last name, that of which Elijah and Helen didn't know, that he would grant the patent. Much to the chief officer's surprise, the board accurately spelled out his last name. Now, some believe that Peters was truly communicating with a spirit who provided the answer. And some believe that Elijah, who was a local attorney, knew the man's name from business dealings. But whatever the source of the answer, the chief patent officer granted the patent to the Kennard Novelty Company for the production of their game, as they classified it. The board was produced and released to the public and did not include any instructions or explanation of why or how it worked. Historian Robert Murch told the Smithsonian Magazine, quote, "Ultimately, it was a moneymaker. They didn't care why people thought it worked," end quote. And their invention was a hit. By 1892, just a year after their patent was granted, the company had expanded from one factory in Baltimore to two in Baltimore, two in Chicago, one in London, and two in New York. However, the original inventors and investors had run into money trouble, and the company was going under. William Fold, who had gotten into the company early as both an employee and stockholder, began running the company, and soon the majority shareholder agreed to pass the exclusive rights of the board over to William Fold. While there were numerous talking boards that tried to compete, Ouija was the leading name and is still the best-known brand of talking board in the world. The Ouija board tapped into a previously undiscovered niche, a family game with a dark twist. People from all walks of life, ages, educational, and ethnic backgrounds were intrigued by the board and its promise of connecting them with the afterlife. During the 1910s and 20s, the Ouija board continued to soar in popularity, becoming more mainstream and accepted. Ouija joined other games in a new trend of parlor games, which were basically games meant to be played indoors with a group of people and were often played in the parlor of a home in upper and middle class families. Famed artist Norman Rockwell even painted an illustration on the Saturday Evening Post depicting a young man and woman on their knees using a Ouija board. But with the fun of the game also came some unforeseen problems, people taking serious issues into their own hands with the help of the board. In 1921, the New York City police were bombarded with tips from anonymous citizens who claimed their Ouija boards gave them information about the mysterious death of famed gambler Joseph Elwell. In 1921, a woman left her mother's dead body in the living room for 15 days before burying her in the yard, because she said her Ouija board told her to. The woman was admitted to a psychiatric hospital for mania. In 1930, two women in Buffalo, New York, murdered another woman, claiming that their Ouija board directed them to do it. But despite these events, people's Ouija board fascination grew. And in New York, in 1944, a department store reported selling 50,000 boards over a five-month period. In 1966, the company Parker Brothers bought the rights to the Ouija board from the Fold Company, making the board even more mainstream and upping its production. Within a year, the company had sold 2 million boards. It seemed like the Ouija board's success could see no end, until 1973. This is the year that the horror classic The Exorcist was released. In the film, a young girl named Reagan becomes possessed by a demon after playing with a Ouija board. Almost overnight, the game that was viewed as family-friendly and entertaining was now seen as an evil tool used to participate in satanic behavior. Religious groups quickly began denouncing the board, saying that it was how the devil communicated with the living, and that using it would open a gateway to hell and invite evil spirits into the world. This cultural shift has influenced how the board is perceived by many to this very day. A large portion of American society harbors a deep-rooted fear and uncomfortableness with the Ouija board. Many refuse to touch one or allow one in their homes, believing it carries evil energy and makes them susceptible to possession or hauntings. Some believe that the board is truly powerful and can genuinely open up communication with the other side, while others doubt its effectiveness and believe it doesn't work. Well, there are millions of people in the world who have had life-altering Ouija board experiences and truly believe they have communicated with spirits, there are also groups who believe there is a more scientific explanation as to why the Ouija boards seem to work for some people. Psychologists wanted to know how the planchette could move about the board when the players were adamant that they weren't moving it. What was discovered is something called the ideomotor effect. This is a psychological phenomenon where a subject makes motions unconsciously. About the ideometer effect, Vox.com says, quote, "The ideomotor effect is an example of unconscious, involuntary physical movement. That is, we move when we're not trying to move." If you've ever experienced the sudden feeling of jerking awake from sleep, known as the hypnic jerk, you've experienced a more abrupt version of the ideomotor effect, your brain signaling your body to move without your conscious awareness. The obvious difference is that the ideomotor effect happens when you're awake, so the reflexive movements you make are much smaller. In the case of a Ouija board, your brain may unconsciously create images and memories when you ask the board questions. Your body responds to your brain without you consciously telling it to do so, causing the muscles in your hands and arms to move the pointer to the answers that you, again, unconsciously, may want to receive. There are multiple scientific studies that have shown various instances of the ideomotor effect in action. In one well-known and often repeated variant of the Ouija board test, blindfolded participants spell much more incoherent messages. These experiments easily demonstrate that the Ouija board only works when the participants are able to manipulate the pointer themselves. If a ghost or spirit were really in the room, it would be able to direct the planchette to spell out coherent messages without any assistance. But there is no ghost. And when the Ouija board users are deprived of their ability to spell out words they can see, the game rapidly devolves into gibberish. End quote. And Dr. Chris French, professor of psychology and anomalistic psychology at Goldsmiths University of London, explains that the design of the planchette piece is specifically made for this. He says, quote, "The thing about all these mechanisms we're talking about, dowsing rods, Ouija boards, pendulums, these small tables, they're all devices whereby quite a small muscular movement can cause quite a large effect. Planchettes, in particular, are well suited for their task. Many used to be constructed of a lightweight wooden board and fitted with small casters to help them move more smoothly and freely. Now they're usually plastic and have felt feet, which also help it slide over the board easily," end quote. And there's also the fact that Ouija boards are usually played with several people, making it much easier for everyone in the group to deny that they move the planchette. Dr. French says, quote, "And with Ouija boards, you've got the whole social context. It's usually a group of people and everyone has a slight influence. With Ouija, not only does the individual give up some conscious control to participate, so it can't be me, people think, but also in a group, no one person can take credit for the planchette's movements, making it seem like the answers must be coming from an otherworldly source. Moreover, in most situations, there is an expectation or suggestion that the board is somehow mystical or magical. Once the idea has been implanted there, there's almost a readiness for it to happen." So even though the psychology behind why the Ouija board might work has been explained, there are still many who believe in the power of the board and stand behind their own personal experiences. Today, the Ouija board is still a household name, with most people knowing exactly what it is and many who have used them themselves. You can buy a Ouija board on Amazon for $20, and it has a 4.5 out of 5 star rating with over 2,500 reviews. Ouija boards are also often shown in scary movies, often including a creepy scene where the planchette moves on its own and spells out an ominous message. Some of the movies that contain a Ouija board scene include The Exorcist, The Conjuring, Paranormal Activity, What Lies Beneath, Veronica, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, Witchboard, and the Ouija series. So, are Ouija boards just a game created by money-hungry businessmen, or can they really be used to communicate with the afterlife and non-human beings? The internet is full of stories from those who have experienced unexplainable happenings when playing with a Ouija board. And even if you're a non-believer, many of them are hard to find a rational explanation for. I am now going to read some personal Ouija board stories sent in from my listeners. As always, thank you to everyone who submitted their stories. We definitely have some good ones today. But first, I want to talk a little bit about my own Ouija board thoughts and experiences. I've always been super intrigued by Ouija boards, and they've never scared me or gave me a weird feeling, but I've also never really had a very significant experience with one. I have used them numerous times with my friends over the years, usually at sleepovers where we would play Bloody Mary and light as a feather, stiff as a board, watch scary movies, you know, bring out the Ouija board, normal junior high girl things. But it usually ended up in us just laughing and someone, you know, admitting that they moved it. The only specific story I can remember happened when I was around 8 years old and I was with my cousin Brandy in her bathroom. We turned off the lights and we lit some candles, and I remember asking, "What will Brandy's husband's name be?" And I vividly remembered the planchette spelling out the name Kevin. And we both started laughing because we were obsessed with the Backstreet Boys at the time, and Kevin was the kind of like older, not super cute one. And I was teasing Brandy about how you're gonna marry Kevin and how gross and old he was. And, you know, just laughing about it. Well, it turns out that my cousin really did marry a guy named Kevin, and they actually just celebrated their 10-year wedding anniversary. Now, I think that one of us moved it to be funny, but I think it's just kind of a crazy coincidence that her husband really is named Kevin. Like, what are the odds? And actually, that story leads me straight into my first listener submission, and this one is from my best friend, Megan. She says, "I have two stories. One is actually something that happened to my mom, but I'm going to share it. Growing up, my mom always told me not to play with Ouija boards. She one day told me that when she was a kid, she was playing with a board with her sisters. They took turns asking questions. When it came to my aunt's turn, she asked it who my mom would marry. The board spelled out Shoemaker. My dad's last name is Shoemaker, just spelled differently. Then one of my mom's sisters asked the board who would be the next person to die that they know, and it spelled out my great Aunt Helen's name. And this turned out to be true." So of course, when your mom tells you not to do something, you automatically want to do that thing. About 6 years ago, I was having a housewarming party at a home I shared with one of my best friends. Two of our friends were there early, and we decided that the four of us would get out the Ouija board. We each took turns asking it questions. My friend Joelle asked the board how many children her grandmother had. I guess this had always been a question her family wanted answered, as they knew her grandmother had a past that she didn't talk about. The board said 6. A couple years later, through a DNA test, Joelle's mom and aunt found out that they had 3 sisters they did not know about, making the total of 6 children come true. Next, my friend Jessie asked the Ouija board how old she was. None of us knew the answer. The Ouija board hovered over the number 4, and Joelle, her husband Dave, and I started laughing. But Jessie did not laugh and said, "I am 44. I don't remember what Dave asked the Ouija board, but my question did not disappoint. I asked the board if there were any spirits in this house that wanted to communicate with us, and the board went straight to goodbye. Needless to say, that Ouija board went in the trash can, and I will not touch one again. I was always skeptical if Ouija boards really worked. Well, not anymore." All right, this next story comes from Nicole, and she says, "My mom was really into these types of things, and she would let me sit with her when I was really young and watch. The boards she used were not the kind you could buy in the board game aisle, but super complicated and totally out there. My little sister and I started experimenting with the Ouija board that everyone now knows and loves, or hates, when I was around 12. The first time we used it, we asked dumb questions and would often get gibberish answers. But the more we used it, and regardless of whatever we would ask, over time, the responses were always the same. Starting slowly, the board would start to spell out N-Z-I-Z-C-Z-O-Z-L-E, which is my name, Nicole, with Z's between each letter. The handpiece would spell it faster and faster with each question. After a few days of only getting this response, I definitely got scared, and we did not continue playing with it. Anyone could argue that it was my little sister who was manipulating the piece, and although I cannot definitively say that wasn't the case, that wasn't the case. If anyone has ever felt the piece move, then you feel it pull you to somewhere on the board, not push. My little sister was, and never has been, a jokester, especially when she saw how these things freaked out her big sister. Anyway, I have a lot of thoughts about these things, but that was my main experience with the Ouija board. This next story comes from Jocelyn. I was about 12 or 13, spending the night at a friend's house, goofing around with the Ouija board with him and his sister. We were getting all sorts of gibberish plus words spelled out, just kind of scaring ourselves for fun, not taking it very seriously. Then we got the message, "I can see you through the window." And then, "I can see you through his eyes." There was a small window in the basement room where we were, and just the backyard and woods past the driveway visible through that window. We asked it more questions, and it said, "I'm under the car." So we somehow got up the nerve to go out with the flashlight and peer under the car, where we saw a huge black cat hissing. We ran inside freaking out, and at that exact moment, the power failed and all the lights in the house went out. We just about actually shit ourselves. Few minutes later, the power came back, and we sat up until dawn that night scared and never played with the board again. This next one comes from Tom, and it says, "When I was little, my mom took out a Ouija board and asked my brother and I if we'd like to play with it. It started out pretty funny. Someone was obviously moving the glass thing, making words like poop and stuff like that. Did I mention we were young enough for that to be hilarious? But then my mom said, let's get serious and try to contact someone. Here is where it gets weird. A friend of hers had recently gone missing. He'd been missing for a month or so, and nobody knew where he was. When we asked who it was we're talking to, his name was spelled out. Let's just say it was George, since I genuinely don't remember. When we asked George if he was my mom's friend, it said yes. My mom got visibly upset and asked where he was. In a lake, it spelled out. It was extremely upsetting, and we stopped immediately. Mom tried to be lighthearted about it, and since I was young, I believed it was no big deal as well, following her lead. About 2 weeks later, they found George's body. He'd been hit by some car or train or something on some bridge, and his body fell into the nearby lake, though it was more like a very large pond. It was a reasonably remote place, so nobody had found it for a while. Okay, and the last story today comes from Chelsea. When I was about 14, my best friend and I had a sleepover birthday party. Being the silly little girls we were, we decided to make a Ouija board to use, not really knowing any of the rules, like making it say goodbye. After an hour or so, I wandered off to watch a movie with the other couple of girls who didn't want to commune with spirits. Here's where it got weird. After I left, the spirit talking to my friends changed, as in it switched to a different spirit altogether. His name was Max, and he was looking for me. I've never known a Max in my life. My friends yelled out what he was saying as it moved, and I was writing it off as them just teasing me, until he started giving out information about me that no one at the party knew. That really freaked me out. I begged for them to stop playing, even after Max tried to convince me that he was not trying to hurt me. My friends were awesome and stopped playing before I started crying, and I thought that was the end of it. The next time a Ouija board came out was the next year, and only one girl from the original party was among the group. We were baking a cake, so when the buzzer went off, she and I headed up to take it out of the oven. When we got back to the group, another girl turned to me and asked, "Who's Max?" Apparently, he'd stuck around after that first time. If my friends want to use a Ouija board, they don't invite me over unless they want to speak to Max. He's always around. A few times in my life, I've heard a voice call out my name. It usually makes me stop for a second, and at least twice, had I not stopped, I would have been in the path of a car going too fast to stop before it would have hit me. I strongly believe Max has stuck around to be helpful, but had we not pulled out that Ouija board that night, I would never have known about him. Okay, so that's gonna be it for today's episode. So, what do you guys think? Do you think that Ouija boards are nonsense and that people are responsible for moving the piece around the board on their own? Or do you think it really has supernatural powers? I think it's a little bit of both. I think that most of the time it is someone in the group purposely moving the planchette around and that nobody wants to take responsibility for it. And they actually like, you know, just freaking their friends out. I remember always taking it very seriously and not moving the piece. But I also remember other girls very obviously trying to push it around and then denying it. However, I do believe that in very rare situations that if the group is serious about it and actually follows the rules and creates an environment that is conducive for spirits to communicate through, that it really can work. I think that spirits that have moved on might want to speak with us but don't know how, and something like a spirit board can really help them facilitate that communication. But I've also read stories of people saying that once they used a Ouija board, it opened up a door of sorts that they didn't know how to close, and that things kept happening long after they put the board away. So I think that if you want to experiment with a board, that you should take it seriously and be respectful of whatever spirit you're trying to summon, because you definitely don't want to have some evil spirit on your bad side. And also, if you do play with a Ouija board, just know the risks of what you're doing. But as always, I would love to hear from you guys and get your feedback on what you think of this topic. Did listening to this spark a memory that you forgot about? Do you think that this is all bullshit and people who wrote these stories are just full of it? Let me know. You can find the show on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, Twitter at Weird_Rocks, and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. As always, thank you for hanging out with me today. And I also want to wish you all a very happy and safe Halloween. I know this year things are going to be quite different, but I hope that you're still able to have fun and celebrate somehow in this crazy world. All right, until next time, cheers and stay weird.
That was a Titancast episode.